Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, June 5th, 2023. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside... The accolades go too long.
Yeah, right.
It's been too long.
It has.
Formerly of IGN. Formerly of IGN. You know what?
Cass Messina. Back when it was cool.
Get out of here, Cass Messina. The IGN Nintendo team, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Then you went to Apple. Then you went to Disney. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the one and only Mark Bozon.
Yeah, right on. Thank you for having me.
No problem. You got to get on top of these mics. You got to be up here. You got to be up there.
Thank you for having me.
See, I get your radio voice out.
Yeah, right on.
Bozon, how are you doing? It's been too long.
I'm doing pretty good, man. Yeah, this is, it marks, I think, 13 years since I've been live on anything.
13 years since you've podcast.
I feel like a returning original cast member on, like, Street Fighter VI. Like, yeah. you should have, like, the tattered robes and, like, you know, all the gray hair and everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it's been cool, man. It's good to jump back here and, like, outside of maybe jumping on a Fran stream now and then. This is the first time I've been
Fran.
Around,
so yeah. Get out of here. Yeah, we don't need Fran at all.
Thank you for calling me instead of him. I know it was a close one.
You called me, so don't worry about it. Well, so talk to us, Bozon, because I went to your Twitter, wherever you should go, Mark Bozon.
Yep.
Bozon.
You got it.
Of course, everybody remembers you from the old Crush Hour 2 videos with me on IGN and stuff like that. But you know, for me, you always hold such a special place in my heart because, of course, when I first got to IGN in 2007, it was you and me. They sent everywhere.
Yeah.
We were just down. We didn't want to pay for anything, so we'll use the company card. That's great. It's a free lunch, free whatever.
Yeah.
And then you and I traveled the world together and roomed for so long together.
Yeah.
But of course, IGN, Nintendo, what have you been doing since then? Because you've done a little bit of everything. You're now industry executive on your Twitter profile.
Yeah. And on LinkedIn. Yeah. I didn't want to do the, like, hashtag looking for work thing. I, like, literally growing up, I had my brother, shout out to Matt Bozon, creator of Shantae. Aaron Bozon, creator of Shantae. Matt Bozon worked on Shantae since the very beginning.
Way forward,
I grew up in his shadow and being like, well, I don't do art, so I can't work in the video game industry. And then I, like, started in game dev, testing games when I was, like, super young, probably was legally allowed to be paid for it. I'd literally go work on games, and at the end of the week, they'd be like, you did a really good job, here's a Nintendo 64 game.
Nice.
I was like, dude, thank you, that's amazing. And then realizing,
this going forever, this gravy train's never going
to end. I'm going to get free games forever, it's really good. And then realizing, like, you need to get a real job where they actually pay you real money.
Right? Yeah.
But coming from it from the angle of, like, I don't have that art background, I'm not a programmer, like, what can I even do? And instead, I went and did, like, the sampler platter of everything. So I've had that chance to do publishing for Apple Arcade. I worked for last year with Disney on Next Generation Storytelling, which is super cool. Was not Metaverse the way you think of Metaverse, but we did some really interesting things. And then, like, doing game dev when I have time to do game dev, and I really enjoy just, like, connecting with people, journalism.
Yeah.
So a little bit of a mix of everything, actually.
So now you're just back out there.
I'm Sting in 1996, man. I'm a free agent, and then I'll go into the rafters. I'll show up with a crow, an ill-fitting trench coat, you know, and I'll get into that next stage of my career. But yeah, I'm having a blast. Honestly, like, I'm trying to decide what's going to be next. All I know is it's going to be something I'm super passionate about. I love indie games. I love talking to folks about games, but I love making games too.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I've been able to do that. So I'm really hoping to jump into that too.
That's awesome. Big Apple thing going on today.
There's a little Apple thing going on.
You know anything about it? You got some inside information on that? You remember some stuff?
What day is it? Monday?
June 5th.
I don't want to get sued today.
Sure. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. Hopefully I can unredact a few things from my resume. Outside of that, I'll leave it to the experts to talk about what's coming up.
Well, then for now, before we get in there, of course, I always want to introduce somebody new. Because, of course, you'd be surprised how many people are like, oh, Greg, I've been watching you forever. Oh, how long? Oh, 2015. I'm like, oh, my God. You don't even know. Favorite game of all time?
It's Castlevania Symphony of the Night, or sometimes, depending on the day and what I ate, it's Link to the Past.
Nice.
Those two. I don't know that either are a perfect 10. Symphony of the Night is definitely not a perfect 10. But I don't, maybe Link to the Past is a perfect 10. But yeah, my kind of, like, favorite game of all time goes back and forth.
Okay. And then what are you playing right now?
Right now is a mix of stuff. Diablo 4, obviously.
Hell yeah!
Everybody's playing Diablo 4. Diablo Immortal, that's not a
you're still playing
popular
Immortal?
Opinion. I just went into it again to sort of check and see that they did.
So this
world.
Is my thing. You did the whole Apple Arcade stuff forever. Did you like, even before
mobile
then? Were
Master
you? Yeah, or are you like super on mobile? Like, oh no, they're actually, and there are a lot of great things. I'm not knocking mobile.
It's what I have time to play most of the time.
Like, you're a dad?
AKA the toilet. I'm a dad, yeah. I actually have a one-handed games folder on my phone. I don't know if I still have it, but when you know, when you have a kid, you're like sitting there with a baby, right? Playing games one-handed. So I was playing that. I played Street Fighter VI on Apple Arcade. Shameless plug. TMNT Splintered Fate is amazing. That's from Super Evil Megacorp, the guys that made Vainglory. So that's really cool. It's like a four-player sort of Hades-style dungeon crawler. Okay. And it's got like online multiplayer for four players, which is really cool. So that's been the mix of it. Like Last Case of Benedict Fox was cool. Shout out to Rogue Games. Got to get my cast to plug in. I think that's the major stuff right now. But Diablo 4 has been taking all my time.
Like, what are you playing? Who are you rolling?
I'm rolling Sorceress, Arc-like build, except for now the one point whatever patch, the day two patch that they just put out, completely negating a bunch of the builds that are out there now, which is good fun, like Blizzard keeping us on our toes.
Yeah.
But playing Sorceress, I played a little bit of Druid because I hate myself, and that's what you do when you want to play Druid.
Yep.
Get like the zero DPS out there. and then, like, it's just the tough one for me, honestly, is I want a build that feels super fresh and new. I think a lot of it has been really cool so far on Diablo. I'm really hoping we get some cool characters that are maybe different and offer something that I played since Diablo 1. Like, I literally...
Yeah, you've been on the block.
Forever on Diablo 1. Played Diablo 2, Immortal 3, of course. I just want something that's maybe a little bit newer. So I was going to go Druid. Druid's really... The DPS isn't there. So I'm playing Sorceress right now. But trying to mix it up.
Yeah, I rolled Rogue. That's where I've been stuck. And it's the same thing where it's like... It'll be fresh. And then I'm like, it totally is just becoming my Demon Hunter, right? It's becoming my Cassandra from Assassin's Creed Odyssey of just all poison build. That's what I'm doing. I'm out there.
Like, and you're gonna, it's, this game has an awesome end game already. And it's a live service game, right? So all that's coming. So you're gonna be playing this build for a huge amount of time. So it's tough to just pick one. I end up sort of just like being the Borg and trying to assimilate different, like, whether it's new games or different classes inside of Diablo.
Yeah.
Like, just play everything and see what I like the most. I'll probably end up playing all of them, to be honest.
Yeah. I'm gonna be going for that platinum. All right.
Nice.
I know you're playing on Xbox or whatever. Yeah. You don't have to worry about it.
Hey, it's multi-platform. We're all friends here.
For now.
And
all
as
right.
long as you have phones, you're fine.
Exactly. What? You don't have phones?
Yeah.
Let's talk about some other stuff that'll be happening at a press conference to make more memories. There will be no CG first party trailers at the Xbox Game Showcase. Street Fighter VI hits 1 million copies sold and more. Because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show over live right now on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and, of course, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You can write in over on kindoffunny.com/kindoffunnygamesdaily, KFGD as we call it. You can put your questions in there about the daily video game news and questions and stuff like that. Then, of course, you're watching live. When you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Of course, if you like this show and think it's awesome, you should go that extra mile. Please head on over to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where you can get each and every episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily ad-free. You can support us to keep the lights and mics on. Of course, you can get daily shows like Greg Way, weekly shows, monthly shows, you name it. There's dozens and dozens of exclusive episodes of content like Kinda Feudy over on patreon.com/kindoffunny. I digress. If you're going to get the show for free, no big deal. Why don't you help us out? Like, subscribe, share, leave a review. And of course, use our Epic creator code KINDOFFUNNY when you're checking out on the Epic Game Store or buying Fortnite, Rocket League, or whatever on the console of choice. Housekeeping for you. There's a brand new episode of The Blessing Show out tomorrow. That's right. We delayed it. It's out tomorrow now, 11 a.m., right after Kinda Funny Games Daily. It is right after Kinda Funny Games Daily. It is a fantastic episode of The Blessing Show that I'm not going to ruin for you here, but you know, Blessing doesn't miss. YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames after tomorrow's episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily at 11 a.m. Of course, only on YouTube after the live stream. You can hang out with us, of course, on YouTube and Twitch after we finish up Kinda Funny Games Daily to bridge that little gap as we go into what's going to be the stream team. Hang out with us and get your Super Chats read in a 30-minute post-show hosted by Snow Bike Mike. Of course, like I said, on YouTube, on Twitch, after Games Daily. So if you're listening to a Games Daily later on, you got to come check out the YouTube video. Over on Patreon right now, there's a brand new episode of the Next Gen Podcast up, and we want to thank our Patreon producers for making it happen, Casey Andrew, Delaney Twining, and James Hastings. Today we're brought to you by Amazon, Shady Rays, and BetterHelp. We'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be The Roper Report. time for some news. Six items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
You are thunderous today, Kevin, and I appreciate it. Kevin, did you have a good weekend?
I had a great weekend. Very quiet.
Did you play any games?
Oh, my God. Tears of the kingdom to my eyes fall out.
Sure.
My butt hurts from, like, laying on the couch too much.
Yeah.
Am I too loud on the...
The doo-doo-doo-doots were, this is a great speaking volume for you.
Yeah, those are very commanding.
Yeah. It, like, suppressed us. Like, oh, God, what's happening? Oh, my Lord. Good Lord. Number one on the Roper Report, Microsoft promises no full CG trailers for the Xbox Showcase first-party games. This is Wesley Yin Pool at IGN.com. We know it. Microsoft has told Xbox fans not to expect a CGI fest when it comes to first-party games at its upcoming showcase. Xbox marketing chief Aaron Greenberg said in a tweet, quote, "None of our first-party games in the show are full CG trailers. Everything is either in-game footage, in-engine footage, or in-game footage with some cinematics. Each of our trailers will be labeled so it's hopefully clear to our fans," end quote. Fans have criticized both Microsoft and Sony for showcase events that had little gameplay, such as May's PlayStation Showcase that mostly featured CG across its many reveals. The Xbox Game Showcase and Starfield Direct will run for around 2 hours, Greenberg revealed, and feature video games only. Quote, "Can confirm there will be no movie or TV show trailers in our game show," end quote, he added. Greenberg also said Microsoft will not commit to a 12-month release deadline for games shown during its showcase. Mark Bozon.
Yes.
Games industry executive.
Yes.
You know a thing or two about putting together a showcase,
yep,
coming out and having games. How hard is it to walk that line of CG versus in-game footage versus we want to announce but we can't show the game and blah, 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 blah?
Yeah, it's a little, and I think we saw it with even Metal Gear Solid, right, from the Sony PlayStation Showcase. It's tough, right? Like, you want to sell the dream, and you want to sell what this game is going to be all about, and sort of, like, you're giving everybody the 10-second pitch of, like, what this thing could be, right?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we want to see gameplay, right? I mean, yes, any studio out there can put in, like, an incredible CG, trailer and make something look awesome. But, like, if we want to do that, we have a lot of areas where we can just have passive entertainment. Like, I want to see gameplay, and that's the thing that's most important to me. Like, when you get a really, really cool trailer, and it's building, and it's building, and it's building, and you're like, oh,
splash, we're not going to
get gameplay. Yeah, you get nothing. Right, exactly. That's brutal. Like, I want gameplay in my trailer. So, for sure, yeah, I think it's super important. You sell the game, sell what I'm actually going to be playing. Like, there's a million games out there. There's so much content. Everything's vying for your attention. It's not enough to be like, hey, we made a really cool CG trailer. I'm like, great, that's awesome, but what am I playing?
Especially, I feel, for Xbox with this showcase, right? Like, yep. They are down right now. People need a win if they're an Xbox fan, and just in general, Xbox in general, I think, needs a win after Redfall, after the delays, of course, having to call out this 12-month thing, because last time around, they said all these games would be 12 months, and they weren't all 12 months. You feel for them, and you hope for them, and again, I think they're saying the right things here. I think that I still firmly believe that the Xbox team, Phil and Aaron and Sarah and et cetera, I don't want to name everybody, right, understand their audience and understand what they need to do. I'm excited to see them eventually deliver on it, but I want that day to be here already.
Yeah. I, watching from the sidelines for so long, and it's been so difficult not to just, like, get on and yap and tweet about things. Like, I think, I know Sony's cooking right now. I know Nintendo will always have their lane. I really think Xbox is in just an absolutely incredible position.
Yeah.
Like, they built out that tech. Like, they're there with game streaming. They're there with Game Pass, which is phenomenal. Like,
of course.
They have all the pieces they need, but at the end of the day, the thing we care most about are the games, right? So I want to see what they deliver on the games front, but they are in a perfect position. They've been acquiring studios. They're in a fantastic spot right now. So really, I just want to see what I'm playing next.
From, you know, your side of the industry, right, being able to be behind the scenes and see all that stuff, do you feel for them in a different way? Like, you know, I mean, the Redfall thing was interesting. Obviously,
yeah,
Phil came on, took it on the chin on the XCast, and then, what, weeks later, we saw the, I think, Trier report last week that was like, yo, behind the scenes, this game's been a problem forever and things like that.
Yeah, and I don't want to speak for that dev team.
Of course
but
not.
When I look and see the game that they're making, I go, you have a wheelhouse. This, to me, feels like it was almost chasing an industry trend, which I think is the most important thing out of, and that's what I think indie games have taught us incredibly well, is like, go after the thing that you're amazing at. Like, build towards your strengths, right? We see trend chasing all the time. We have Fortnite. I don't need another Fortnite, right? Like, we have Back 4 Blood and Left 4 Dead. Like, we don't really need more of those unless you're doing something super original and new.
Like Foam Stars.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think stick to your strengths, right? So it's for whatever reason that game went through the issues that it went through. I still think, like, it's an incredible studio. They have amazing talent there. push towards your strengths. And if that's the game you want to make, cool. What are you doing different? And let's make sure we give it the time it needs before it comes out.
You're coming from, you know, at least your last two resume jobs here, Apple and Disney, some big companies, right?
Yeah.
Is that a message that's getting through, or are people, do you have to make these mistakes to then learn that? Or how, and I know I'm not asking you to speak about your former employees.
No, it's tricky. I mean, Apple Arcade is a perfect example. I think there's almost 300 or there are 300 games out on that platform. You have that situation where you're like, we need games at certain beats. And you're in that, no matter if it's Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo, whatever, you have games, you're like, we need games for our release calendar. We need stuff that hits. I'm sure, for an example of Diablo, to take it away from Apple for a second, Diablo, there's some cool endgame stuff. There's actually a lot that I want to see still in that game. I'm sure there are huge lists of all the features that they're going to put in that game. The devs, at the end of the day, will work on it forever. You have time, money, quality as your triangle, and you can't have all of them all at full maximum. So you have to hit your game. You have to hit your dates. You have to get your game out. You have to make it as best in class as possible, but it's always a balance. And then when you look at platform holders, they're looking at it from this crazy meta view of, we have 30, 40, 50 studios or all these games.
You're doing great.
We have all. We have all.
No, no,
we have
you're fine. But it's. I want to make sure. Since you're getting. You're getting.
By the way, I'm doing the back here.
Play the room. We got all this space, folks.
I can't believe. I can't believe. This place is incredible. By the way, if you need help, I've got the address. We can break in and check it out later. you are balancing all of these different games and all these different release dates and the quality bars of all of them. It is not easy.
Yeah.
My heart goes out to any dev that doesn't have the time to make the game, or any platform that's like, you know, we wish we could give it another month or X more budget, and we just can't, because you just have to get games out at a certain point.
Yeah.
So it is definitely, it's always a tug of war for sure.
You know, I love, you know this about me, and I would like to imagine most people listening or watching you. I love talking to devs, and I love when devs are allowed to talk.
For sure.
And this sounds like shameless self-promotion, because it kind of is, but it also is the fact that Snowbike Mike is a great interviewer, and we've seen him come into his own, if you're not paying attention on the XCast and what he does. Obviously, the Phil Spencer one got so many headlines and so much news. He just had a great one with Rod Ferguson, and it was the XCast that he recorded literally the day the embargo lifted for reviews with him.
Yeah.
And Rod was in there, and he was talking about the fact that, like, what's great about Diablo 4 is the fact that, yes, there's so much that was left on the cutting room floor of features, ideas, mods, and usually have to go, all right, well, the next game, maybe we shrink the idea, it becomes a DLC. He's like, with this as a service, that can be a season. We can try it in a season, and if it doesn't work, retool it, come back a few seasons later. We can do all these different things. And I was like, oh my God, that's so cool to hear.
100%. Yeah. It's tough, because every developer and every publisher wants to have the biggest game in the world right now. Like, that's the goal. But there's only so much time in the day, and so many, like, there are a million games out there to play, right? There's never been this much choice. So it is this delicate balance of, like, we have to put something out that's best in class and build this gigantic roadmap. But if all we do is promise a roadmap and then the players don't show up, now are you on the hook to build the entire roadmap and all that stuff? Like, it gets messy. So, yeah, I mean, getting a best-in-class game out first and foremost, and then if it hits, and you hope it hits, make sure you're ready with just an insane amount of content on the back end.
Right. Yeah. Back to Xbox in this. You're talking about, you know, having to watch on the sidelines to keep your mouth shut, of course. You know what I mean? You want to keep a job going.
Yep.
How do you look at their race with PlayStation? Do you think they are in the same race? Do you think that's something that actually can happen, can change, whatever? Or is it just going to be that Xbox is going to make themselves the best Xbox they can, and the audience will come?
Yeah.
Or be there, stay, whatever you want to say.
It's been a little crazy, right? I think, like, the edge that PlayStation has had and kind of has always had is that incredible first party.
Yeah.
Like, they have the amazing first party games. A lot of times they're single player games, though they're branching out now. I feel like Microsoft is building a pretty crazy ecosystem. And it is interesting, like, all the always online, a lot of stuff we heard essentially at the beginning of, like, last gen stuff.
Xbox One.
It was like, we're going to be always online. We're going to make it where you're always connected to your game. We're constantly updating everything. And there was a huge revolt for a lot of that stuff. At the end of the day, a lot of that's come to fruition.
Sure.
And I think the ecosystem that's being built by Microsoft is crazy strong. Like, they are in a really, really great place, and now they just have to get the games out there. Whereas I think Sony is in a place where, I mean, I'm not to spoil a story coming up, Sony's out there, they're building on their infrastructure, and they're building a lot of those systems. They're still having their acquisitions on their side as well, but for me, they have some incredible games you can only get on their platform. Xbox wants to be Xbox, whether Xbox means your television that's got some guts inside of it, a console you play on, PC, whatever. So I think from an ecosystem, they're in a really interesting place. But they're obviously competing for the same thing, but doing it in two very different ways. So it's fun to watch.
And then for you, a disruptor, I would say, the industry. Where do you think an Apple falls, a Netflix fall? Are they able to come in and challenge PlayStation, Xbox? Or again, is that their own race they're running?
I think they're going to be whatever they want to pot commit and actually be.
Right.
I think Apple Arcade was a perfect example. the 100 games at launch were very boutique, very indie style. A lot of stuff that you didn't see showing up right away on Nintendo or other platforms early on. That brings in a certain amount of people. Well, what happens when you want to grow it? What types of games are you putting on the platform? And if you want to go bigger and bigger, they're going to have to invest and decide they want to do that.
Yeah.
Netflix is in a really interesting position. They're scooping up, I think, some incredible studios.
Night School's amazing, right?
Yeah. So there's some amazing studios there that they're partnering with. Their interesting one is they're going to have an incredible game catalog and no home platform. Like, unless they go game streaming, for example, where do you play all these amazing games, right? So that's a really challenging one for them, too. But for anybody that's, and same thing, Amazon Luna doing everything they're doing on the game streaming side, like, there's a lot of players in the space, but you really have to pot commit and try to win the hearts and minds of gamers, and that all comes down to the game.
There are so many players, but so many of them are playing their own game.
Yeah,
you really, when we talk about it, and you're like, oh man, Xbox versus PlayStation, and they're not doing, but then it's, well, Nintendo's doing, they're running away and doing their own thing, obviously.
Yeah,
they're fine. And then it's like, oh, these things, and I keep waiting for, you know, we're getting closer to Netflix being like, guess what? The games are on the Netflix app on your TV.
Yeah.
Use your phone as a controller or Bluetooth sync or whatever, and you're going to be, and it's going to be interesting when they do that. And my mom, who uses Netflix every day but doesn't think of it as a game service, understands she has that too.
Yeah. And then the interesting thing will be, well, you've got some incredible studios. They're going for hearts and minds. Night School Studios is a perfect example, right?
Yeah.
Well, as soon as you get it somewhere where it's a platform like a television that can have just limitless amounts of people playing, what types of games are they going to play?
Yeah.
Like, do you need to go with like solitaire, super casual stuff to appeal to those folks? Or are you okay being like, these are gamers' games, we're going to take a slice from the gamer pie?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It is interesting. And we'll be watching it on Kind of Funny Games Daily to see what happens. Number two on the Roper Report, Street Fighter VI hits over 1 million players during opening weekend. This, again, is Wesley Yin Poole at IGN.com. If Wesley's got another one on here, we're going to have to change the name of the show to Wesley Yin Poole Games Daily.
Start paying a stipend.
Street Fighter VI has reached over 1 million players across its opening weekend, Capcom announced on the official Japanese Street Fighter Twitter account. The fighting game launched on June 2nd to critical acclaim, with IGN's 9 out of 10 review calling it a knockout, and plenty of players seem to be enjoying it too. With the launch of Street Fighter VI, the series has sold over 50 million copies, and Capcom celebrated this achievement by gifting all players the quote-unquote just-picked-up Street Fighter VI profile title. Street Fighter VI also got off to a strong start on PC, where it became Steam's most-played fighting game of all time by concurrent player count, beating out the likes of Mortal Kombat 11, Tekken 7, and its predecessor, Street Fighter V, on Valve's platform. Bose, you playing Street Fighter?
Yeah, I played about an hour and a half, 2 hours of it, yeah. Just kind of kicking around.
You just won it. You just beat it. You're done.
I'm like 100%.
Yeah. Nobody can touch you.
That is, man, that's a weird, it is a really cool game. It is a weird game with like World Tour and the
Club.
And then like off to the side is like, oh, this is Street Fighter. Like,
Street Fighter.
Again, I'm like, I'm 96 years old. So like as like Street Fighter, I think of it, right? So that's really interesting. So to me, that tells me they're really trying to play towards their community, obviously, with like the Battle Hub front and center, right? The World Tour thing is awesome. My favorite Street Fighter game is Alpha 3. So like that's got a World Tour mode. This is a big, crazy, weird World Tour mode. And then the core fighting is like super dope. This feels to me, I don't know, whatever, I might get some hate, whatever, you can find me. Like Street Fighter 5 to me felt like 4.5. It was basically the same universe as 4 moving in, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're like, cool, yeah, this is a really, really similar game. This to me is like, all right, we're doing some big, heavy swings on weird stuff. And that's what I like. I like Third Strike. Third Strike, a lot of people, you know, weren't crazy about Street Fighter 3 originally. Third Strike came out, all of a sudden everyone's freaking out about it, right? I like when it's a little weird. And this game's like a little weird. And I kind of dig that. Yeah.
Well, that's always the hard thing to walk, right?
Yeah. Like,
how do you, as you get into these iterative sequels,
yep.
How do you do it where you're able to bring in new players, you're able to bring in new ideas, but not alienate people and put in something like tripping and drive everyone crazy?
Right, yeah, 100%.
Right. For when you're seeing that and when you're working with developers and stuff who are working on sequels or talking to somebody who's doing something, maybe even iterating an idea they've had before, how hard is that a line to walk?
I mean, that it's very similar, weirdly, to this Redfall conversation of like, you're like, well, the community's expecting this, or fans who play this certain genre are expecting this. If we want to get funky, that's cool, but if you go too funky, all of a sudden, are you going to get people excited or playing it or not, right? So I think this is the right move for sure for Street Fighter VI. Like, absolutely. The core gameplay is super cool.
Sure.
But, like, I think it's called the drive system. I'm still pretty early on it. But that system, really, really cool. But then they're just like, you know what? We've got the core one-on-one fighting ready to go. Let's get crazy and put, like, Final Fight in our online hub. So I can just, like, walk over to a cabinet and play that. Or, like, I'm going to go into World Tour mode and, like, collect every single, you know, attack that's in the game and just, like, make the weirdest, craziest character. So I think it's the right time to do things like that in the series. I know you have to be careful about it. Another one I'm watching really close to, like, take the Capcom and spin it to indies is Hades. I think it'd be really interesting to see what Supergiant does with Hades too. They don't do sequels.
Uh-huh.
So what do you do with a sequel to a game that, I mean, that's one of my favorite games of all time.
Yeah.
what do you do with a game like that? Do you stick super close to the roots because people love Hades and know Hades? Or do you go a little crazy in a couple areas? Like,
I bet they go a little crazy in a couple areas,
I think,
right?
They can't help themselves, right?
And it's that idea where I think, you know, you talk about why sequels matter, why putting the number going up on the right end of your title matters. And it is that idea of how much buzz a game gets from a fan base that maybe then, oh, well, you know, Hades, they heard a lot about.
Yep.
Diablo 3, you've heard about for 10 years. No, and so old game is old for a lot of people, but you know people loved it, and this is the thing, and it was great when it came to console and yada yada, but you got a PlayStation 5, and that's where you're starting. You hear all this stuff, and then you get something like Diablo 4, right? You get something like Street Fighter 6, and it's a new entry point that is bringing in modern sensibilities to a game. And so for Hades, it's the exact same thing. Of the Game of the Year awards, this, that, and the other, everything that's all the deserved praise that's been lauded on Supergiant's shoulders to then have them. I think Hades 2 is going to be huge, and I can't wait to see what they do to switch it up.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
I think another thing I wanted to touch on and pick from that I really like what you brought up, right, is the idea of Street Fighter 6 World Tour mode. Go collect the moves. Let's get weird. Let's do that kind of thing. I think that's so interesting that that kind of, not gameplay, but I guess gameplay, right, game mechanic, is still getting into these systems in such a modern era. I think of WWE, right? Yeah. You and me are huge WWE fans.
We are,
you know, we used to always go to cover the old games and blah, 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 but we'd share stories. And it's like, I remember for me and, you know, No Mercy, how much fun it was to play through everything, to unlock everything, to go get the Undertaker's purple outfit. You know what I mean? Like to do all that stuff and like bring out those ideas and those things. So even now in like 2K where it is, we'll go through, you know, the showcase mode to get this thing, to get the specific stuff, like to unlock different things in the game, to go make it more than just a fighting game, right? It can be a world that if you're a fighting game fan, if you're a Street Fighter fan, you can live it and do all this stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think it's really cool. Are you like a WWE shill now? I heard you're a WWE superstar.
I am a WWE superstar. A shill? I am
two-time
not.
BYWF heavyweight champion.
Two-time BYWF champion. Of course, I'm added to the game on Friday in WWE, everybody. You get ready to get me in my faction.
Now, I don't want to hijack, but are you going to play AEW Fight Forever? Or is that you're not allowed to play that game?
I saw that kind of shit out there. You know what I mean? There's always so many different fun angles to who Greg Miller is and how you know him.
But I
did see some kind of debate of like, I wonder if Greg, you think I would sign a contract with anybody that was like, yo, you can come do whatever, but you can't talk about AEW? I'm fucking stoked. A spiritual successor to No Mercy? You know, Kenny Omega, a fan like us, being like, yo, I'm going to get behind this and challenge Yuke's and do all this stuff. Yuke's, of course, out from underneath the 2K and the WWE thing. What are they going to go do? I can't fucking wait.
And I don't even know if they did. I know early on during the pitch process of that game, like, it was floating around a whole bunch. They were talking about not only is it Yuke's, but they're trying to bring back a few of the folks
from AKI
or whatever. I don't know if that happened. I'd have to check.
I got confused when I went live. Yeah, exactly. I know. Right.
But the fact that they're trying to bring a game out that's got the soul of that original game is really cool.
And that's my thing about it, where it's like, you know, I am so much like you, I think, and you and me have such a passion for games, where it's like, I love to see people swing the bat. I love to see people come out and like, I'm going to make a game that isn't trying to be X.
Yep.
And from the announcement of them, hey, we're doing AEW and we're doing the AEW game. We want to make it like No Mercy, but modern. I was like, that looks and feels away in my head.
Yeah.
When they dropped that first gameplay footage, I was like, holy shit, they're doing
they
it.
Are,
this
literally.
Is what you think No Mercy looks like. And then to see people come out and bag on it. Oh, it doesn't look, it doesn't. And it's like, I have seen nothing but transparency from them of like, literally in interviews, Omega's like, yo, it's not going to look like WWE. That game's stunning. Yeah, we are not going to look like that. We are not going to be that.
They teased a piece of box art that looked like an N64 cartridge.
Yeah.
Like they're wearing it on their sleeves, right?
100%.
Yeah, that game looks amazing. Like, and play, the latest incarnation of WWE was awesome too. Like, we're finally in a place where I feel like I don't have to like sit in a dark corner of my room and play Fire Pro and be like, I like this version, right? Like, there's stuff out there that's fun to play for us too. Oh, you're blowing up. Hold on.
My YouTube? This is
happening live. Are you watching yourself?
I don't know what this is. It's just a thing here. It's some video. Some podcast.
His iPhone became sentient. If it put itself on an Apple announcement, that would be
That's WWE calling me. It's Triple H being like, Greg Miller, you cannot talk. You actually did not read the contractor.
What's your problem? Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, I can't wait for
AEW. I don't remember what we were talking about.
No, we're talking about games, man. We're talking about fighting games. So it kind of nets out there.
We're segueing beautifully, actually, into the next one, by the way.
My final thing on AEW Fight Forever, right, is that I think it looks fun.
Yeah.
That's my thing. It's like, I think it's going to be probably, and I hope I'm wrong, I think it's going to be probably a bare bones, like, what you can do in it. But if the gameplay is fun, if it looks like this, and they got barbed wire, like, cool, let's go.
It's your first, that's another one out there with what modes are going to be in it and how much customization. It's your first game. There's so much to get done. And, like, all the legality of, Yuke's doesn't want to come out and put this game out, and then all of a sudden WWE is calling them being like, cool engine. That was our engine. Cool UI layout. That's our UI layout. Let's talk about it. Like, so they had to hit the reset button. And like, I think this, if this is awesome core gameplay that has you begging for more, mission accomplished.
Exactly. Yeah. Number three, transitioning perfectly with a Greg way. WWE announces a multi-year partnership with Twitch. This is Len Pitts over at GameSpot.com. We are sorry, Wesley Yin Pool. You are not pitching the perfect game anymore. WWE has had a weird relationship with Twitch over the years. After not allowing its talent to participate on streams, the company reversed that decision last year during WrestleMania weekend. It removed past restrictions on wrestlers' use of third-party platforms, including Twitch and Cameo. Now, WWE is all in with partnering with the streaming platform in a multi-year deal. On Monday, WWE announced it's officially partnering with Twitch, which will see the return of the official WWE channel and popular WWE Superstar channels. In the statement, WWE announced it will debut a new companion stream to Monday Night Raw, taking fans quote-unquote behind the scenes and closer to the in-ring action. These streams will be hosted by a rotating cast of hosts and will regularly feature appearances by WWE performers and focus on, quote, unique and exclusive content such as backstage interviews and more. Viewers can stream the sidecast live every Monday beginning at 8 p.m. Eastern on a browser by going to the WWE channel or the Twitch app itself. Additionally, the official WWE channel will be home to other live productions and will serve as an alternate live streaming feed for all of WWE's premium live event post-match press conferences, similar to what New Japan and AEW do with their NJPW World and YouTube channels respectfully. I don't know what happened there. I started getting ahead of myself in the words. We're stopping. The original Twitch ban came after a number of controversies involving wrestlers, ranging from dropping racial slurs while playing Call of Duty to them randomly revealing widespread health issues throughout the locker room. WWE had attempted its own cameo-style format during WrestleMania, but soon dropped plans for that rollout, which led to some instant classic moments with The Undertaker.
Is Tout not still around?
No, Tout.
Oh, we can't Tout it out. I thought we were live on Tout. I thought Tout was that little.
Yeah, exactly. That's the Tout over there. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
It's got one viewer and it's me. Yeah. Or it's your phone that just
exactly. It's a big show popping back up on Tout or whatever. Good. Great.
Yeah.
You know, I think this is a weird move when WWE is like, no, you can't do this anymore. Dude. You saw all the wrestlers change their handles to their real names so they could do whatever they could try to get around it or whatever. Like, it's such, I mean, and I can't even begin to fathom what it's like to run a WWE, right? But I remember at IGN, you know what I mean? When we started doing Game Over Greggy, I started doing Game Over Greggy, which would become kind of funny, there was a bristle of like doing stuff outside of work on your own when your personality and hosting skills are what they're making money off of, what they hire you to do. Yeah. And so it is a slippery slope, I get, but I really think that turning it off and capping it only hurts everything.
100%.
Like, I don't think anybody's going to go out and, because this is so hard to do, I don't think anybody, with the exception maybe of probably like Woods, would be able to go out there and be like, you know, I'm starting my own thing and this is what it's going to be and I'm going to make enough of a living that I'm going to leave the wrestling behind and do these kind of, like, this only augments. Now, granted, if somebody's dropping a racial slur, you got a big problem. If somebody's telling the backstage secrets or something, that's a big problem.
Yeah.
It's a slippery slope and hard to do, but this only benefits everybody.
You're also having to walk that line. Like, these are independent contractors as set up. But you're also not allowed to go out and do whatever you want. So this really, I think, helps. This is great, like, for the boys, right? It's awesome. Yeah. It's awesome for everybody to have this as a revenue stream. If they're going to be using their actual characters, I'm actually curious if I can throw a question your way.
Sure.
Do you want to see this as, like, yeah, you got Austin Creed, Xavier Woods out there playing as him? Is it him as his character? Do you want, like, literal storylines showing up on Twitch? Are you like, dude, save that for the programming. I want to see him, like, game it up and play stuff in his spare time. Because you can play that a lot of different ways, and it'll be interesting to see how much, like, WWE creative goes into this. Yeah. Or if they're just like, we worked out the deal, we got the payment on the back end, you're good, stream, go kill it, do your thing.
I mean, I feel like what they're talking about here is going to be somewhere in between.
Yeah,
where you're talking about a behind the scenes and closer to the in-ring action companion stream to Monday Night Raw.
For sure on that one, yeah.
So it's like, okay, cool. This is running alongside Raw. So you're watching Raw and you have this there. And then you assume it's going to be like basically like what we, like they used to do the watch along streams that I was on. That's where I met Pat McAfee at WrestleMania in New York, right? Which was like, hey, it's just us back here chilling. And it was really cool of like, they jokingly be in character, but then it would be like, oh, that was a great move or this, that, and the other. Oh my God. Yeah, like that I think is way more value than having it's Woods wrestling and Kofi's back there in character.
Right.
Like, no. Yeah. Like, don't worry about pushing the angle. Like, talk about what's happening. Go that way. Because again, if you're this dialed into being a fan, I think you want, like, okay, cool. I want the backstage access. I want the Broken Skull session, right? That you're getting. Or even what we do on This Is Awesome. Peacock. What up? You know what I mean?
Greg Miller, I want to pitch you on an idea. We had WWE Crush Hour 2. Never came out. No. We're in development hell. It's still coming out someday, eventually.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. You have the 24/7 belt. We threw it in the trash. We missed. We're close to throwing it in the trash.
Yeah.
The idea was to throw it in the trash, right, in that segment. We should stick a camera on the 24/7 belt. We should literally put a live feed on the 24/7 belt so that if someone's like walking around, come on, right? Come on.
It's guys, good, but like, what about when it's just
send the check to wherever the studio is?
You know, R-Truth sleeping, and it's just a shot coming off of that, or in his room, it's going through the X-ray at the airport. Or
yeah,
whatever.
I mean, that's the fun. If we had a camera we could pull, I would just do it, like, set, you know, set it here and get that up shot of like brushing your teeth over the time.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, why not? Right, we're in a 24/7.
That'd be a
world.
Fun bit. Like, if you did it, like, you know what I mean? For WrestleMania weekend, it's on the whole
time.
Stick
that camera on that title, man. First title with a live stream, always on.
You got to walk around the sign all the time. Like, I am live. Be careful what you say. Do not say anything.
Just walk around with a stack of waivers in your backpack.
I'm more insulted that I can get approached about being a part of this WWE Twitch channel. They're not announcing hosts, so whatever, but like, come on. I
talk too much about the AEW game.
Every time I'm backstage, I tell them how stupid they are for not doing a reaction to the pay-per-views.
Yeah.
And I'm like, let us do it. Let us watch it and hang out here, and that's what. I
mean, 100%.
You, as every wrestler at every pay-per-view, so send us some superstars. We'll hang out and talk to them.
Dude, yeah, you got WWE, a couple superstars?
Come on.
Send them over. It's a great idea.
You know what else is a great idea? Patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, of course, you can get dozens and dozens of monthly episodes exclusive. That's right. Shows you get nowhere else, like Kind of Feudy, the next gen podcast, and your daily dose of Greg Way. Of course, over there, you could toss us a few bucks, though, and help keep the mics and lights on, maybe get some exclusive merch, get your name read. But most importantly for right now, you can get the show ad-free. But you're not on patreon.com/kindoffunny. So here's a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon and Summer Game Fest. We are in an absolutely stacked year of video game releases, and you can find all of them on amazon.com/summergamefest. I hope that you found a spare few hundred hours to play all the amazing games that have come out this year already. Gamers have been eating good this year, but this is the only place you want to be, amazon.com/summergamefest, because guess what, this summer there's going to be even more exciting announcements coming through of so many more video games that are about to be on all of your favorite consoles, like Final Fantasy 16, Armored Core 6, Diablo 4, Street Fighter 6, Mortal Kombat 1, Exo Primal, Assassin's Creed Mirage. The list goes on and on. You can go to amazon.com/summergamefest all summer long to discover the top new and upcoming games as soon as they go up for pre-order, or you can go check out the website now for everything you might have missed so far this year. Again, that's amazon.com/summergamefest for all of your video game needs. Shout out to Shady Rays for sponsoring this episode. Do you want to look as cool as I look? Yes, you do, and you can. You can take on the sun with gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered for the warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades at an unbeatable price. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair that I've ever worn in my life. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. You can wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. Exclusively for you listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. You can go to shadyrays.com and use the code KINDOFFUNNY. You can get 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. You can try for yourself the shades that are rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. Promo code KINDOFFUNNY at shadyrays.com. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. It's so easy to get caught up in what everyone else needs from you and never take a moment to think about what you need from yourself. I know this from experience, how often it just seems easier to care about others and to keep it moving. But when we spend all of our time giving, it can leave us feeling stretched thin and burnt out. Therapy can give you the tools to find more balance in your life so you can keep supporting others without leaving yourself behind. Some of my very best friends use BetterHelp and love how helpful it can be for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist anytime for no additional charge. Find more balance with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/kindoffunny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/kindoffunny.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals.
Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Story number four. Grasshopper manufacturer says, quote, something's gonna happen on June 15th. Jesus, talking like the Joker. This is Chris Scullion over at VGC. Grasshopper manufacturer is seemingly counting down to announcement on June 15th. The No More Heroes and Killer Is Dead studio, led by Suda51, has been counting down to something for a while on its 25th anniversary website. The countdown was initially set up on March 29th, the date of the studio's 25th anniversary, and was originally counting down to June 10th. However, as spotted by Twitter user Noble, the countdown appears to have updated and now counts down to June 15th. The countdown doesn't appear to coincide with any of the numerous summer game presentations due to be held over the coming days. The closest is the RGG Summit Summer 2023, a showcase to be held by Yakuza developer RGG, which starts an hour before the countdown runs out. The studio's last game was No More Heroes 3, which was released on Switch in August 2021 before being ported to PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, all the Xboxes, and PC in October 2022. Back in May 2022, Grasshopper founder Suda51 said he wanted to show the studio's next game by the end of that year, but conceded that it may have to wait until 2023. What's it going to be, Bose?
I think it's just going to start to be a counter counting up.
It gets down, just, like, counts
keep,
up.
They just keep changing it. Yeah, for sure. I love No More Heroes. I know they're kind of like done with that. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
Everything that Suda does is just insane. That dude is fantastic.
Whether you like it or don't like it, I always respect it. I'm always like, you know what? This is cool that you have this vision and you got this game made.
Yeah, I feel like he was a flag bearer for like the weird indie 100% stuff, right? So that'll be fantastic, whatever it ends up being, for sure. But yeah, I do like the idea that just the website continuously, maybe they change the background color and then they reset the clock to being like another 20 days or something.
Yeah.
To keep us hanging.
It's like, it's just off-putting right now. If you're an audio listener, it's just this like, this puke green with then a dark pink, something's going to happen. And then just counting down. It's like, all right, well.
It's fantastic.
Good Lord. I hope it doesn't. Don't gas Gotham or whatever it's going to be. I don't know.
I will say one quick thing, because there isn't a whole lot here on this story.
Yeah, what are you going to say?
So No More Heroes 3, I think, is a perfect example of this, and this is a topic that's one of these sitting there listening for years being like, man, I wish I could get out there and say one thing.
Yeah,
I'll say it, and I'll say it really quickly. Any of these games that pop up that are like console exclusive, when you've got something like a Bayonetta, or in this case No More Heroes 3, any of these games where you're like, man, I love that game, it was multi-platform, or this developer took a shot on it and it went away for a while and now it's back, and then you get all the people showing love for it, and then you get everybody else, why isn't this on this platform, why is it an exclusive here, why is it a timed exclusive here? I'm sure that has been said time and time again, but I'll say it. Like, this is people taking a chance on a game you love. It's people placing bets with their money on a game or a series or a franchise that is like important to that platform holder. So I think that's a great one. As I look at Suda and I think about like the No More Heroes journey, like No More Heroes 3, like, yeah, it was a Switch exclusive, and I'm sure Nintendo ponied up some cash for it. Probably not as much as Bayonetta, but the fact that we got it is awesome, right? So anytime we see that, this just one out there, if you're a fan, be cool to each other, be cool to the devs. Like, it's hard enough getting a game out there. The fact that it exists is fantastic. So when we have situations like that where they're exclusive, it's probably exclusive for a reason, unless it's like the next Call of Duty is only on Xbox.
That's
all right, they rolled out the Brinks truck. Like, what, you know, no one, nobody's passion project, like, fine, but yeah.
So. Yeah, the business side, I think, gets lost in a lot of the fans, video gamers, I'll say, maybe fans. No, I'm on this one quite a bit all the time, right? Because there are the realities. There are the dollars and cents of, like, no one's doing this, sadly, just to put out art. They're doing it because it's a business. And like you say, it's a bet of, like, what are you going to do? How are you going to do it? Yeah. And so when you see something like that, you know, I was jokingly responded to Victor Lucas from Electric Playground today, where he was, why doesn't the Switch have a Spider-Man game? Not, I mean, he knows the answer, but he's like, Spider-Man's his biggest hero. It should be on Switch. It should be everywhere. Yeah. And I responded with Ultimate Alliance 3, and I was like, all right, eye for an eye. Put this multi-platform, and that, you know what I mean? And it's that idea of, like, obviously for Spider-Man, Sony threw a bunch of money behind that and got into it. And obviously for Ultimate Alliance 3, Nintendo did the same. Yeah, of like, you know what, let's partner up and get this thing done. And that what you're getting there is that video games are expensive to make, and the returns aren't guaranteed.
Yeah.
So, of course, you're going to see deals like this, whether we're talking about exclusive games, whether we're talking about exclusive Xbox Game Pass, PlayStation Plus, you name it, right? Yeah. An Epic Game Store freebie.
Yeah.
Like, or Game Store Epic over Steam. Like, the idea is that people are trying to figure out ways to make what they want to make and get paid for it and not have to lose their livelihoods for it. So,
I got to say, it is, I think, especially with all the crazy layoff stuff happening, it is a fantastic time for new studios to pop up. There is a lot of money floating around out there, a lot of platforms, and a lot of people wanting to get skin in the game. So in that sense, I think we will see a huge boom of innovation. But with that comes a lot of those like, hey, we're going to take a chance, but to do it, we signed with X people and we're going to be over here for the next year or two. It's just the way it goes, right?
And it's what we always talk about, right? I think, you know, you used to be applauded, I think, when you talked about when Cuphead originally happened. And it was, oh man, they mortgaged their house to make that. What a horrifying statement to say.
No kidding.
I don't want anybody. If you can go get the Xbox Game Pass money and I got to turn on my Xbox, good for you.
Totally.
Whatever.
Totally.
I don't care.
Yeah. Not only that, you go and you play it. And everybody's like, well, this is cool, but it's only boss fights. And they're like, this is like our ramen money. Like we're doing half seasoning packets and half noodles because we're trying to make this game, right? So 100%, right? You need either somebody to back you, or you're going all in on an idea and a dream, right?
Yeah,
and that's tricky.
Number five seems like maybe PlayStation won't be going all in on the cloud. Sony CEO warns technical issues still remain for cloud gaming. This is Jordan Midler at VGC. Sony's chief executive Kenichiro Yoshida has warned that technical issues remain with cloud-based gaming, calling the technology, quote, very tricky. In an interview with the Financial Times, Yoshida mentioned that Sony would look to use various options in the future for streaming PlayStation titles over the internet. Quote, I think cloud itself is an amazing business model, but when it comes to games, the technical difficulties are high, said Yoshida, citing latency, which refers to the time it takes for an action being inputted on the controller to be referenced on the screen, as the biggest issue. Quote, so there will be challenges to cloud gaming, but we want to take on those challenges, end quote. Yoshida also highlighted that due to the fluctuating popularity of gaming during the day, for example, a high number of players all logging on when they finish work, it's financially inefficient to run when there are few players, and that conversely, a high number of players logging on at the same time could lead to issues in performance. Referring to these quiet periods as, quote-unquote, the dark time, Yoshida said, quote, the dark time for cloud gaming has been an issue for Microsoft as well as Google, but it was meaningful that we were able to use those quieter hours for AI learning, said Yoshida. PlayStation has aggressive plans, quote-unquote, for the cloud gaming space, according to PlayStation boss Jim Ryan, the details of which he claims will be revealed over the coming months. Quote, we observe mobility in gaming habits to be an increasingly important trend, and the cloud will be fundamental to allowing us, or indeed anybody else, to exploit that trend, he said in a recent interview. Quote, we do have some fairly interesting and quite aggressive plans to accelerate our initiatives in the space of the cloud that will unfold over the course of the coming months, end quote. A lot of business talk in there.
There was a lot of a nice little sneak in with AI. Like, but we're investing in AI. Like, get that market
exactly,
going up again.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, we announced some rough stuff on GameStream. Got the AI plug in.
Yeah. Cloud gaming, Boson.
Yeah.
Where do you fall with it? What are you doing with it? What do you think of it?
I think it's really awesome. I use it right now as like this fun, weird sort of niche thing that I do. Mm-hmm. I booted up to make sure I had my Xbox working properly so I could do cloud gaming with Diablo.
Yeah.
I haven't messed around with it yet, but I actually was like, I was playing around with Immortal, and I'm like, what are the things I like about Immortal? And I'm like, the biggest thing for me is it's on my bottom tray of my phone. I can tap on it. I can go do a super quick rift or whatever.
Yep.
And then I'm back to playing like the big boy Diablo when I'm on consoles.
Yeah.
But Game Pass works right now on my phone.
Yeah.
A quick shameless plug. I have no financial interest in these guys, but the Backbone controller is amazing.
Oh, dude. You are right at home with the Backbone love here. You can shout them from the rooftops.
I won't waste everybody's time. You know what? Like whatever. But that controller is incredible. It essentially turns your phone into like a console in your pocket.
100%.
Stream button, you can launch everything from it. Like, it's really, as far as making a phone not feel like a phone and feel like a Switch or like a gaming handheld, it does it, right?
Yeah.
So if you take that and then you say, okay, eventually we're going to get to the point where online infrastructure is a place where it needs to be, cell phone signals are strong enough. Like, yeah, why not be able to just stream games and play them on the go? I think right now it is sort of that niche. It's a fun thing to kind of check out.
Yeah.
This is the perfect example, though, as we were talking about Microsoft earlier. I think Microsoft's in a really strong spot here. And I think if Sony wants to do it, they're going to have to decide if this is actually a place they want to bet really big on.
Yeah.
And there's time, right? It's still emergent technology. I want to play Diablo on my phone until I like go through a tunnel or if I'm on a train or something.
Yeah.
And then also my hardcore character is dead.
Yeah.
So
exactly,
like maybe
exactly,
it
yeah.
depends on what game you're playing or whatever. But I've had good experiences with it. I think it's really cool tech. It's one of those that like, it's going to, like VR, it's going to be the slow simmer that continues to be there, and then you'll have those wow moments that show up for it.
It's crazy for me that, you know, Xbox has come in terms of PlayStation, Xbox, taken the conversation over in cloud gaming, right, mm-hmm. with everything they're doing, understandably so, because they've done it. But remember when PlayStation bought Gaikai, and we all thought, oh, here we go, this is what it's going to be.
Yep.
And granted, there are streaming on PlayStation, but it's not like a pillar. It's not something they talk about. It's not something they get the credit for and that they even should necessarily,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And for me, it's interesting to see PlayStation really double down on remote play.
Yeah.
Obviously, at the last showcase, we saw the reveal of Project Q, the remote play device that is an 8-inch screen shoved in the middle of your DualSense, which I know is goofy looking and isn't for everybody. I remote play just about every night, at least for a little bit. Like, I'm
100%
getting it. Last night, I was sitting, Last night, Jen's on the couch looking at TikTok. I'm laying on the floor. We've put Ben down. We don't want to commit to Diablo yet because he's still like up and down in the crib. So it's like, I did that and I popped on Puzzle Quest 3 on PlayStation so I can start working on my trophies there. It's like, I love remote play. Yeah. I love that device. You know, we talk about Diablo and our obsession with it.
Yep.
You know, Thursday we all climb into the car and climb into the airplane and go to LA for SGF. So yeah. I will be remote playing from a hotel my Diablo game and seeing how that runs.
Yeah, for sure. Even Google Stadia, I know it's like, it's fun to like clown on that stuff, right? Again, real people with real jobs that actually had real impact there, which is, my heart goes out to anybody in that spot.
Of course.
But that tech was really strong. I remember, I will not say who it was. I showed it to, let's just say, a friend of mine. And was like, hey, have you seen this? This game's running on a Mac. And I was using Google Stadia.
Yeah.
And like, they didn't realize I was using Google Stadia. And I was like, check this out. Performance is insane, right?
Yeah.
And like, yeah, this looks really good. I was like, yeah, this is actually cloud gaming. So like, just as I think it was one of the early fighting games, whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, it's working. So your preconceptions were, I'm not interested in cloud gaming. Then you saw it and you're like, yeah, this game looks really good running on this Mac. It's running in a browser, dude. Like,
yeah.
That's amazing, right? So when we get there with, I think, the type of game, to your point, like, I had Instacart show up while I was playing Diablo, and I'm in the middle of a live event, and I'm like, you're going to have to wait, dude. Like, I'm literally, I got to, like, take out these shamans that keep reviving dudes. Like, it's going to be a second. So that was an at-home drama experience, right? It's going to happen on the go, and that's why so many mobile games, like, dip in, do my dailies, and leave.
Yep.
So the type of game is going to have to work properly, but the technology will get there. And then the idea that we downloaded, like, 100 gig games all the time, that's going to be this, like, remember that
dude,
weird
the
thing
amount of
Grandpa
times
did?
I get the email from Xfinity, it's like, yo, you're over your limit. I'm like, all right.
Hilariously, I'll roast it a little bit anytime I play Call of Duty. Because I re-download it, I download Warzone, I get all the new ads, like, I get all the assets, and then I get my notification. Like, you're up on your like, whatever, internet throttling, right?
Yeah. So, and that's the thing about it. Like, you talk about dailies, and I think there's such a big part of that being the equation as we get into what a quote-unquote live service game is, right?
Yeah.
Of the idea that I will never forget. It was right after the launch of Destiny, period. Destiny 1.
Yeah.
Vanilla Destiny.
OG.
Where we went down, I think, for E3, but I'm rusty. So kindoffunny.com/you're wrong if you want to correct me on when Destiny came out, actually, in months of the year. But I thought we went to E3. Maybe we went to some other showcase. And I'll never forget that Destin brought his PlayStation so that so he could follow Xur and get whatever he was trying to get.
Of course.
I think he left a dinner to go do it or whatever. Yeah, and I was like, that is awesome. I respect that. Because I'll bring my PlayStation to, like, play Witcher or whatever on a review or something.
Totally.
But he just did it for that thing. And like, the idea that I do that all the time now, where I check in, and like, I'm sure for Diablo I'll do it. I do it, you know, for Fortnite, or I did it for Fortnite.
100%.
Like, if you want to get in the story, you want to get that one thing. Oh, there's this kind of quest, there's that kind of thing. Even for I use it a lot on the go for my faction in WWE, of like, oh well, I'm trying to get all the boxes today so I get the most card packs.
I literally used the Vita at work when I was at Apple to check Xur. I was like, cool, I'm gonna check in and see what his shop is, right?
Okay, poor Vita. Yep. We have breaking news from the chat. Okay, it's not that exciting. Kojima is at the Apple event, apparently. There's an Apple event going on right now. I do have Blessing, I think, getting some stuff in here. It looks like it's Death Stranding's coming to Mac. So there you go. Death Stranding, Director's of Cut, coming to Mac. It looks like Kojima there. I believe, Blessing's going to be hopefully adding some stuff here at the bottom. We'll see if we get there or not. But again, we are concurrently live against it, so we will see. I guess I could also find something for you.
Good job, DR. Good job, App Store. Way to go. Get Kojima out there.
It's a big deal. You know
what
I mean?
Show me care.
We'll throw over The Verge. We'll end with The Verge's live blog. I'll do some stuff as we look, because I know they are hoping to do the VR headset. I'm not sure if the VR headset happened or not. And we'll get back to you. Number six, though, on the Roper Report. EA Sports is aiming to add Nike's Dot Swoosh NFTs to its games. Blah! Adam Bankhurst at IGN.com. IGN. No, what? No, he's at IGN. Esports. No, I fucked that up too. I'm so hot as Kojima. EA Sports and Nike Virtual Studios have announced a new partnership that will look to add Nike's Dot Swoosh virtual creations, aka NFTs, to future EA Sports games. EA announced the news in a blog saying, quote, Nike's new partnership with EA Sports will look to build new immersive experiences and unlock brand new levels of customization within the esports ecosystem. The details of exactly how this will manifest in the future games were unclear, but a short video on Twitter from Dot Swoosh visualized a bit to see what fans can expect. Swoosh used the Polygon blockchain to secure the Nike virtual creations, and the example in the above video shows a black football helmet and the Nike logo in a purple visor. The helmet appears on a digital card of sorts and that says when it's purchased the unique ID the virtual creation has. This signifies this item is unique and tied to a specific person and theoretically will be able to be used in a future Madden game. The video also features branded footballs alongside three different soccer balls, which appear to indicate this very well may integrate to the EA Sports FC, the soccer game formerly known as FIFA. Who fucking cares?
Brand's doing brand things.
I know, right? I thought we were done. I thought we all agreed. NFTs are done. We're done. We don't want this.
So here, and this is an interesting one too, because I think a lot of people thought that like when I went into the Disney thing, it's like, oh, metaverse. This is like NFTs and out there, Web3 and all that, right? At the end of the day, like whatever this stuff comes down to, it's technology. What are we going to use it for? That's all that matters to me, right? So the interesting one with EA Sports is, oh, cool. Presumably I could get a team, a logo. I get something interesting, like a throwback jersey or something. I can get something or a pair of shoes, whatever it is, like a pair of Nike kicks an hour in the game. Well, am I really going to be able to bring it to every single game? Is it going to be free to do that? Because now I own the NFT that says that I can do that. It all comes down to, are we doing this for commodity or utility? Is there a function to this? And if there is, the first question I ask is, why does it have to be an NFT? Like, why can I not just do it direct with EA, for example?
Yeah.
And if there's good reason, fine. But if there isn't, then I feel like we're towing a little more into commodity. And then you're trying to make your money off the secondary market. You're trying to get people really excited about it on Wall Street or whatever. If there's a use for it on the utility front, cool. Let's see what they do. But I also know EA makes a ton of money refreshing Ultimate Team every single year.
Of course.
So if I'm going to get... by one time getting this player on this team in Ultimate Team and I get to use it forever, I don't see them doing that, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's such a mess overall in every aspect of it, of just like, until it's proved.
Yes.
Or proven, I should say, of how this is going to work and what it's going to do, it just all sounds like smoke and mirrors. Yeah. It sounds like an initiative that'll be abandoned and not do this kind of thing. So it's like, I was happy whenever we just got dunked on and it seemed like they were just going to quietly go away. But
yeah, there are a million tools out there. We need to decide what tool we're going to use for the right situation. So
exactly.
Is NFT going to be a tool? We'll see. And how will they use it?
I'm scrolling through right now to close out your Roper Report, The Verge's live update here of the old Apple conference that's happening right now. They're talking about game mode on this new Mac here, dramatically lowered audio latency. They're showing the rate on the Xbox. Then they had a whole bunch of games, new game sporting tools, and then this, and it's Kojima's out there, Death Stranding cut. Hi everyone, I'm super excited to tell you about, he says, and this is going on. This is just the beginning. We're actively working to bring our future titles to Apple platforms, Kojima says in this presentation as well. There's a bunch of stuff going on over this Apple thing for games and whatnot. A lot of announcements, iPads. I got a new phone out there. I always like a new phone.
There's always a new phone, Greg.
Good, I always want a new phone. I'm on the Apple every year plan or whatever. They can just take the money, you know what I mean? Is it faster? Is it good? I noticed my battery's starting to die. Great. Yep. I'm ready for a new one. Yep. Let's go.
Yep. You know?
All right, ladies and gentlemen. I think that's it. I don't know. I'm scrolling. The usual suspects aren't putting up my things that I want. What about Apple VR? Did I get announced today? Apple hits record ahead of this. News. More live blogs. It's that thing. When it's actually happening, it's insane. You can't find any information. But guess what? Tomorrow, there's another Games Daily. If there's a lot of Apple stuff, we'll be there to talk about you. But guess what? Tomorrow's so far away. Bose, if I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grab shops, where would I go?
Go to the official list of upcoming software, each and every platform, across each and every platform, listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily show host each and every weekday.
Yeah! Out today! The Elder Scrolls Online Necrom on PC, all the PlayStations, all the Xboxes. And that's it. New dates for you. Goodbye World is coming to all the PlayStations and all the Xboxes on June 30th. Rise of the Triad Ludicrous Edition splatters gratuitous Gibbs. I don't know what any of that means. On Steam, PlayStation, all the PlayStations, all the Xboxes, Switch. And did I say? No, that's it. Okay, that's it. July 31st.
Easy for you to say.
Amaranuts. It launches on Steam June 27th. Death Stranding Director's Cut is coming to Mac soon. Thank you. There you go. That was the update we had there. That's great. I have squad ups for you now, of course. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, you can write in for free to be part of Kind of Funny Games Daily at kindoffunny.com/KFGD. When you're over on kindoffunny.com/KFGD, you, of course, can ask your questions about the day in news, but you can also squad up where you tell us why you need a best friend, and we read here, and the best friends come and find you. Today, Nathan needs help. Nathan's platform of choice says it doesn't matter, and then the username is the_nmac. M-A-C. Nathan, a.k.a. the_nmac, says, with Street Fighter just launching, I created a Street Fighter Club for Kinda Funny best friends to join. Kinda Funny Club, all one word on Street Fighter. Doesn't matter the skill level or the control schemes, let's just have some fun. If you want to join the Kinda Funny clan over on Street Fighter, hit up the Kinda Funny or Kinda Funny Club, all one word. Meanwhile, Michael writes in on Xbox. His username is MCL7, however there's spaces, so MC space L say 7. Michael says, I made a clan in Diablo 4 for Kinda Funny Best Friends in the Eastern Time Zone. The clan name is KFBF East Coast. Hope to see people there. Bozon, did you clan up? You in a clan?
I'm in Fran's clan.
Ah.
But like, literally, it's just because he was like, you want to join a clan? And I was like, all right.
Hey, Boz, nobody's joining this thing. They don't want to see me just go through my spreadsheets.
I know. And I think he's playing Druid. I'm like, oh man, what a glutton for punishment.
Ouch.
Like, I love, my heart goes out to the Druids. Cool mechanics. We need to get some DPS in there.
I, of course, have the Kinda Funny clan that Joey made. No big deal, everybody.
So I'm going to leave his. So I joined his to then publicly say, Fran, I'm leaving you. And
coming to our clan?
If you'll have me.
We're going over it. Right after this, we're booting up to PlayStation 5. We're getting you on there. We're getting you on there. We're going to do it. Don't worry about it.
Let's do it. See you guys out there.
We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames and, of course, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up. As we screw it up, we didn't screw anything up. But Nano answered my call and said Destiny 1 came out September 2014. So I don't remember what event we were at, but I know he brought it to whatever we were at.
There's no saying you didn't play it there, right? Like, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. No, but it's not wrong. I asked for that. Thank you. You did a good job, Nano. Of course, this is Monday, meaning that there are four more weekdays for Kinda Funny Games Daily to come in and rock your socks. Your hosts look like this week. Tuesday, it's me and Blessing. Wednesday, it's Blessing and Andy. Thursday, it's Blessing and Tim. And Friday, it's Sancho, West, and Chloe. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We're at SGF. We're turning the mics and lights over to Sancho and Chloe. We're very excited about that. Echo Chloe. She likes robots. You remember her. If you're watching live, like we've told you before, on YouTube, you can keep watching the live stream or the on-demand video. If you're on Twitch, you just keep watching, and you're going to see us come out here and answer some questions with Snowbike Mike, who's here, and he's got a cock on his shirt. It's going to be interesting to see that. Can't wait to show it to you. Of course, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. Bozon, I'm so glad I got to be here for your 13-year hiatus of live podcasting to end.
It's ridiculous. Less hair, same amount of pounds, same amount of passion.
Where can people keep up with you?
I guess on Twitter, yeah. Just at Mark Bozon on Twitter. And then, like, you know, I'm on LinkedIn. The biggest thing I'll shout out to LinkedIn is I've got a bunch of folks that were on the Next Generation Storytelling team at Disney.
Yeah.
My latest post there just calls them out so that everybody can see, like, if you're hiring folks, grab some of these people, man. It's like, we have amazing people from Amazon, from Meta, Apple, all over. So hire some folks, man. And buy an indie game, will you? Jeez.
Buy an indie game, everybody.
You're working hard, man. Buy an indie game.
Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, super fun.